Sponsored by 1010 Podcasts.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
This is a final whistle coming to you from Celtic Park, where it finished Celtic 0, Bayer Leverkusen 4. I'm Tino, tonight I'm joined by James. James, what's your initial response to that one?
I've said from the start of the season I wouldn't be too bothered in Europe. You know, we didn't want to come out of this game with a doon on our hands. We did, 4-0's 4-0, but it's been a really strange game. It didn't feel like we got an absolute tanking. We had our chances, they controlled a lot of the game, they scored our four goals. Team in transition is something we've been saying since the start of the season, and never more true, never more obvious from the game tonight.
Yeah, I think going into the game tonight, my general take on it was any sort of, you know,
hard fought loss.
Aye, any sort of kind of fighting performance, any sort of, you know, glimmers of hope that, you know, there's good things going to happen. And listen, with the return of McGregor and Kyogo, which we'll cover in a minute, they definitely give us so much more. I think this Ange system, it very much relies on the personnel, and we can see that with the difference that Kyogo makes over Ayeti. But as I say, any sort of scrapping performance is fine for me. Listen, I'm going to be really frank on it. If we lose 6 out of 6 in the Europa League but show signs of improvement each and every time, that's fine for me, so long as the focus can be in the league. So I'm okay with tonight, I really am. Listen, I tell you what we'll do, we'll go through the starting lineup first of all. I'll get your take on that. So Joe Harrington goals, a lot of very, very good saves again. He's night and day from the two efforts we had before in terms of the personnel and goals. However, Joe Hart in goals, Ralston right back, Montgomery on left back, Carter Vickers and Starfelt in the centre. As mentioned, Captain Callum McGregor returns in centre midfield. He's got Rogic and Turnbull up ahead of them. That doesn't work, to be discussed. Up top, brilliant to see Kyogo back through the centre. Abada to the right and Jota to the left. What was your take on the lineup first of all in the early stages of the game?
You know, thinking slightly longer term, I'm nervous to see McGregor and Kyogo playing because we need them for Saturday more than we need them tonight. But great for them to get a good 60 minutes into their legs, and they came through it fine. So the personnel, it was obviously great to see that kind of talent coming back into the squad. So that was good, as much as I was nervous about it. Montgomery seems to be the default option at left back instead of Taylor. That's fine. Starfelt should be out, in my opinion, but he's still there just now. Vickers are doing a fine job. Ralston is cover for Juranovic, I suppose. As you said, Rogic Turnbull doesn't work. And then three up top from there. McGregor's obviously sitting centre mid. Three up the top. And that's exactly the three we want to see up the top. And Abada was quiet tonight. Conversely, Jota was fantastic. And Kyogo maybe should have bagged a couple, but for match sharpness.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, his own pace and energy and liveliness makes those chances. But, you know, if he does get in those positions, we were at the far end of the goals that he's missed at. Hard to tell. We'll catch it later on in the highlights as to whether he should really have buried them. But it looks like, you know, he should have finished his chances. And that's the thing. Celtic have started well. You know, first, whatever it was, 20-odd minutes, they've been pretty good. And it's been enjoyable to watch. But in any game of football, European or otherwise, you've got to take your chances, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's an adage as old as football itself. You know, if you don't take your chances, you're liable if you lose at the other side. And, you know, a kind of sloppy goal we did lose through, you know, individual mistakes and just not clearing your lines and stuff like that.
Yeah. So just to get through the early action, Bayer Leverkusen have had the ball in the net after about 2 minutes. Which was nice, but thankfully offside. I think the ref went to VAR as well to check that, but I thought the linesman, so we were at that side, we were on the north stand, and I thought the linesman, for me, it looked like he missed a few.
Behind the play a lot.
Yeah, I'd like to see a few of them again in the highlights, but got that one correct, so I let off there. Beyond that, as I say, Celtic have looked lively, particularly Kyogo. McGregor's had an effort deflected over the bar. Montgomery's had a kind of decent break after great skill by Jota, put him in the left hand side of the box, which has ended, I think, with a Turnbull effort over the bar. Starfelt's had an attempt from the resulting corner that the keeper's parried round, and Celtic are pressing. The crowd were brilliant tonight. I thought pre-match the energy was, I think, it's as good as it's been actually since we got back into Celtic Park. You know, the disco lights were on and all that stuff, but there was a real good energy in the stadium. There was a decent amount, a wee pocket of away fans as well, which always helps, and I just thought the fans certainly played their part. You know, they got behind the team, and as I say, you know, the first 20 minutes were pressing, and we've had probably some more clear-cut chances than them, although you can see their quality, and they've eventually, they've got their breakthrough in 1-0, but it's a bit of a horror show, isn't it, for Turnbull?
Yeah, he's just a boy low in confidence. You know, I include the game he scored his hat-trick in. He's not been firing. Myself and Sinky on a final whistle show talked about it, I think, second or third game in. And we felt even at that early stage in the season, it looked like, you know, a bit of rest and coaching was required for him. But there's no option. You know, they were playing the midfield we have to play at the moment. Turnbull wouldn't be starting any time for Celtic just now with the form he's in. And I feel for him, you know, because he's the kind of guy who seems to take it to heart. And that's fed into, you know, he's kind of caught in two or three minds, you know, gets it all wrong, and the guy's got an easy cross. Montgomery could have done better, but it would have been exceptional if he had done better, and it just kind of cannons off him, and it's in for an own goal.
Yeah, I think from Turnbull's point of view, he's still a very young man. I think he's only 22 years of age, and, you know, he's a talented boy, and he's got his whole career ahead of him, but at the moment he's not performing, and for any other young lad in that position, you would take him out the firing line. And I wonder if he's just suffering from the personnel at Celtic just now that doesn't allow those changes. I really do think that him and Rogic cannot feasibly play in the same midfield together. My move would be, instead of the outright 4-3-3 that Ange goes for, a variation of that, you know, being maybe a 4-2-3-1, which allows that two to be McGregor and McCarthy, and then with either Turnbull or Rogic up ahead of them, but not the two of them. They just don't offer enough defensive protection. So great going forward when it clicks, but when you find yourself on the defensive, you're woefully short when that's the case. So I just think, I don't know, we should really be considering making some change there. And we've obviously got a different challenge coming round the corner in the shape of Aberdeen. Yeah. Do you think he'll change it for that?
I mean, he changed it there tonight in the end when Jackie Marcus and Ajeti came on. That was a 4-4-2 we were at, which was interesting because it's the first time I've seen Ange not play a 4-3-3. So there's maybe something in his head that's saying, you know, the personnel I've got isn't quite there for the 4-3-3. I'll play it when I can, but maybe a bit of flexibility. And I think you're right, that 4-2-3-1 gives us great flow when you're attacking. You know, that's and Kyogo would love that as well, actually. We've got a lot of stuff going forward there, but it would slow down the pace at which we turn attack into defence. It's terrifying.
Looks like Big Jack Amakis had a great time during lockdown, eh?
Aye, the boy knows where the buffet is.
He's been getting stuck into the Ben and Jerry's. Oh, man. It looks like there's work to be done there. He came on.
I thought he showed wee flashes that he's got something.
No lack of effort, and he put himself about. He looks much more a typical back-to-goal kind of striker.
Muscular. Yeah.
He's going to, you know, bounce past things back into the midfield. So, no reflection on him tonight in terms of how he done. Good just to get minutes in the tank, actually. And,
yeah.
I mean, Ange had hinted in his pre-match conference yesterday that there was a chance that McGregor, Kyogo and Giakoumakis at different times would feature. And all three have, ultimately. And it was a real bonus to get McGregor and Kyogo starting. Really, my biggest hope was get an hour or so. I think they both had an hour plus.
Yep.
And then get them wrapped in cotton wool for Sunday. So anyway, so that's the first goal. So as I say, Turnbull's mistake, and it's 1-0 Leverkusen. It's all going to be a bit flat after that, as it can do. So that goal was, I've clocked it around about 24 minutes. And for 10 minutes or so, nothing really happened. We've, you know, tried to play out from the back, and, you know, we've seen a repeat of that movie where it's Carter Vickers to Starfelt to Carter Vickers to Starfelt, blah, blah, blah. So nothing much has happened. There's nothing great to report there. But, as I say, around about 10 minutes later, in the 34th minute, it's gone 2-0 Leverkusen. The way I've seen it, you can tell me differently, but Ralston's found himself in that inverted midfield position, which is fine. That's the system. But when you lose it there, you're under serious pressure, and that's what's happened. They've broke very quickly, as they can do, as they've done throughout the match. They're very pacey on the offensive, very fast break. They've ended up, I think, 3-on-2. They've slid a low pass in at an angle at the back post. I thought it was offside. Maybe it wasn't. I think they've done a VAR check.
I thought McGregor's played him on.
We'll not
played him on. He's trying to track back McGregor, and the guy's just slipped off him. So I thought it was quite smart attacking from, was it Virts that scored that?
I'm not sure who finished it, but it looked neat. Virts. But, you know, they've finished it well. And it's 2-0, and it didn't feel like 2-0 at that point. You know, again,
no.
It goes flat, but what was your take on it?
Just that, as you've said, but, you know, the feeling wasn't that, you know, we were 2-0 over and out. You know, it just wasn't like that. You know, they were still trying to make positive moves. It was a very weird game, I have to be honest with you. Just I suppose where my head's at is very similar to yours in Europe, that it's all about the league, and it was all about building a team and building a system. And games like this are great learning opportunities, and pretty much that's all they are.
Yeah. The last notable action of the first half for me, Celtic broke well, I think, from a corner. Abada's broke out, and he's been clattered at a really heavy challenge. I think the boy got yellow carded after the passage of play. Yota breaks, it's him and Abada, it's maybe 2-on-3, yeah. 2-on-4. It is a chance, though, to, you know, get behind the lines, and Yota's just made the wrong call. And listen, I think he's had a very good game. He works hard, he's strong, he's extremely skillful, but he just couldn't find the right pass at that time. And I suppose that's the difference, isn't it? You need to, when you get those half chances, you need to be trying to at least finish with an effort on goal, if not a goal itself.
Yeah, Leverkusen showed that they can be so clinical in situations like that because of the personnel and the talent they've got. But let's take a minute to look at, you know, the numbers we're playing against here. Squad, Celtic squad valuation versus Leverkusen. So you've got all the reporters having the time of their lives tonight on the radio, you know, giving it Ange this and Celtic that. At the end of the day, big beats small, to put it politely, and the money that they spend on their squad versus the money that we spend on our squad is going to get you results like this. So let's all just calm down and keep the focus on what we're doing here, which is rebuilding a team from absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think the media are getting very, very excited, and they're
having a really great time.
Really enjoying the chance to sink the boot into Ange. Ange's, spiky's not the right word, but Ange's very, doesn't miss, you know, when he replies to some of the snide comments in the media. And I think some of the, you know, the old school have kind of decided that Ange isn't the man for them, and they're going to try their best to piss him off. And I think he's shown, you know, real measure and real balance. He's very considered with his responses, but you can hear from the radio there's almost a wee bit of glee.
It's glee.
Yeah. And the fact that Ange's not getting the results that he deserves, or maybe wants at this moment in time. Just to look at the Bayer Leverkusen team as well, there's serious talent and serious money being spent on that team. Patrick Schick, who Scotland fans will remember from the Euros, as a sub, and I think I need to check this. I think he's worth, they paid 40 odd million for him, so a £40 million sub, decent to have. We know all about Frimpong, he obviously cost 11 million. Did you boo him, by the way?
Did I didn't know him? I thought that was harsh, man.
It was harsh. He done
all my days
wrong. He's gone and furthered his career, so fair play to him.
Give you £11 million for
they've it. Also got the young man Florian Wirtz, who's been touted as the Europe's next big thing, so yeah. They've got serious quality all over their team. Diaby, you mentioned, I think the number 11 Amiri as well, talented player. They had good players across the board, so listen, there's no shame to lose to a team like that. As you say, a huge part of this is learning. You know, we've got a very young squad, and as long as we take something away from that, they and we shouldn't be too disheartened, I don't think. So anyway, back to the game. So getting into the second half, similar to the first half, they've started very, very well.
Yep.
Kyogo's had a decent curling effort, I think, after a good link-up play by Rogic and Abada, and they've put a bit of pressure on them. Rogic frustratingly got booked when he was in possession of the ball, out in our kind of right wing position. I don't know if he caught a guy with a flailing arm or something, but
no, he was shielding the ball and the guy was putting his head down towards his elbow. A really maddening decision for the referee, particularly to book him for it.
Clever European type stuff as well from them. Beyond that, there's been a great switch ball by Ralston, maybe around about 50 odd minutes. Pinged it left hand side and it's just gone over wee Frimmer's head.
Yeah.
And Yota's caught it in the chest. Really nice control. Brought it inside. Had a great effort on goal. It's bounced back up. It came to Kyogo. There's no man you'd rather it fell to. And everyone thought he'd burst the net, but he's rippled the side net, and which was disappointing. Do you think he could have done better there?
I think it comes at a height. I think it's a lot more difficult than you think. You conflating two different chances, maybe. So it's not the one that the keeper parried out, and was it not a badder?
Sorry, that it was for that one. My mistake. Yeah, you're right. Conflating two chances, I thought. Yeah, that's that one. It broke out in a bad. I tried to catch it quickly, and he screwed that one by the post. We'll get to Kyogo's chance in a minute. Because there is a few action points, you know, before that. Ralston put in a couple of really solid tackles at different times to get us back on the attack.
Yeah.
One in particular has fallen to a bad on the edge of the box, who's been caught. Then you've got a free kick. It is screaming out for a left foot for me.
Rodic is over it.
Yep, Rodic is there, but you could tell with David Turnbull's position he was going to hit it, and he's meekly clipped it around the post. Short of confidence and all that stuff, but if you're saying I'm the man to take that, you must at least work the goalie. I was really disappointed by that because it was a chance and it's really fallen to nothing. I mean, what's your take on Turnbull at that point? Was it time to pull him?
I thought he should have been off at half time, because the way his confidence levels are, he then gets into the trying too hard, and that's what kind of demanding that free kick is. You know, I can salvage my reputation a wee bit here on this particular night, and you know, if I score one for here, it'll all be okay. I'll balance myself out from a mistake earlier on. That's just not really how football works. You put the best guy in to score the goal, and Rogic, from the position it was in, was screaming for a left foot. And I was for Rogic taking it, not Turnbull. Yeah.
I'm not sure why Rogic himself didn't pull rank. He's a senior player. Yeah. I think he just said, listen, give us a bang on that.
Laid back Aussie.
No joy. So as we approached the hour mark, Leverkusen, they started to get a few dangerous attacks. Frimpong, as mentioned, very dangerous in the break. We know all about the pace he's got. He's come down the right-hand side, and eventually the ball's worked its way back to the edge of the box, where one of their guys has had a decent shot away. I couldn't see it, to be honest with you, whether it was a handball or it's hit Carter Vickers in the chest. Again, I can only presume they've ran the VAR on it, and it's proven to be the case. And he's been booked as well, so I suppose you've got to assume that it was a PK.
Yeah, you know, a lot of protestations at first from Vickers, but when the car came out, he kind of went a wee bit quiet and just said, well, there we go, take my medicine on that one.
So they've made no mistake with the penalty. The fella sent Joe Hart the wrong way, and all of a sudden it's 3-0 an hour in, but as you say, kind of didn't feel 3-0.
Like it, yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? 3-0, but it didn't feel like that.
Maybe just playing a very efficient German team that just scored when they needed to.
They're a very decent side, and listen, with the money they spend, they're second in the Bundesliga, I believe, just now. They will very much see themselves as a Champions League side. I'd be surprised if they don't make Champions League next year, actually.
Absolutely.
And this is where we are. I think at the moment we are somewhere between a Europa and a Conference League side, to be honest with you. And there's just, as they say, there's levels to this game. And I think we're at a different level now.
They're second in the Bundesliga, and we're what, sixth in the SPFL?
Sixth, mate, flying high. Top six is the target.
You do the math.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we find ourselves at the moment. Earlier on, James, I believe I conflated two Celtic chances. I'm here to redeem myself by talking about the right one. Again, it's Ralston. That man appears everywhere. That's what confuses me. Ralston's found himself in a decent position and clipped it towards Jota at the back post, who has got up very well for a wee guy and powered a very decent header. Keeper's made a strong save. You know, he's kind of going back on himself, but he's kind of palmed it away. And then Kyogo's in the follow-up. It's one of those ones where it's maybe, is it too high for a volley, too low for a header? I'm not sure. But he's acrobatically gone for it, and that's the one that's caught the side netting. So I'll ask you again, should he have done better?
Been waiting for you to ask. I think, see, when you're, like you say, athletically and acrobatically getting your foot up to that, you lose a bit of control over the shot itself. So he's just looking for connection and power. He got both of those, but he didn't get the control on it, and it could have gone another way, but it went side netting, which we found out after about a second or two.
That's true. Not long after that, Ange's made a couple of changes. He's brought McGregor off, which is fine, good. I've had a decent game as well, McGregor.
Yeah.
So that's around the 65th minute. Him and Rogic have moved on, and McCarthy and Beaton have stepped in. Interesting that he's now testing the water with Beaton in midfield. Beaton is absolutely not the long-term answer, but I think he's right to get minutes into him in midfield if it's going to be him or Sorrow.
So he's worked out that Beaton definitely is a defender, and he's worked out that Sorrow definitely isn't at least a defensive midfielder, if a midfielder or a footballer.
Aye, and I wonder if a manager can really only find this out by playing guys in games. Training's fine, training, but he's obviously still, you know, finding his squad. And all the more reason for these, you know, pundits and media types to just take a back step. It was nothing like this when it was, Stephen this, Stephen that, when Gerrard was doing his thing for the first 2-3 seasons before he had any success. But they're all over Ange after about 3 months. So
he didn't win an away game for something like 3 months, and he was given all the patience, and he picked up a far better squad than Ange did.
Yeah, so it doesn't ring true. There's no real balance to it, which doesn't sit well.
You know, we all know what that is. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so as I say, McCarthy, Beaton come on, McGregor and Rogic come off, and at that point, you're probably conceding the game to an extent. Not that Ange would admit that, but you know, it's more important to protect players such as McGregor and Kyogo, and also give a bit of, you know, more minutes to McCarthy and Beaton as they try and find fitness. Leverkusen have had a couple of different chances at that point, could potentially have made it 4. Ralston has continued to give his absolute everything. I've got to say, and credit to him, everyone knows his limitations. He himself would probably admit his limitations. His crossing's poor, he's not particularly comfy in the ball and linking up play. But see, when it comes to smashing into tackles and putting yourself on the line, he's your man.
I think a lot of the Celtic squad at the moment lack determination, and as much as self, just a bit of solidity, you know, a bit of physicality. He lacks neither of those.
Yeah. and on that very note, he's made a very brave challenge right out on the touchline. for me, it just like it wasn't even a come together of heads, it was a come together of faces. To guys just smashed faces.
I'm about
20
rows up, I thought we were going to catch the boys' heat.
Yeah, so, and thankfully they were both okay, but it was a heavy challenge. Their players were a bit snide as well, they were looking for Dawson to get booked.
Aye.
It was a very honest challenge, he had nothing but eyes for the ball, but he's been very committed and it's caused that clash. But as I say, thankfully everybody okay. But yeah, credit to Ralston because he leaves everything out there and that's all he can do.
Yep.
Not too long after, he's made further changes. Giacomakis and Ayeti come on for Kyogo and David Turnbull. Again, at that point for me, it's just a relief that Kyogo's able to walk off. He's fine, 70 odd minutes in the legs. And that's the bigger focus, isn't it? That he's a decent game time and that he seems to be okay for Sunday.
Yeah, and he went off and he'd kind of like jersey over the head. He was obviously feeling the chances he'd missed. He knows the talent he has, and he knows he could have scored one or two tonight. So he went off kind of over the main stand, the corner of the Jock Stein stand, and the fans just picked him right back up and, you know, gave him a really good reception, yeah, set him up the tunnel.
The fans absolutely love him, don't they?
Oh, why not? I mean, even when we lost the third goal, Kyogo's grabbed the ball, ran into the centre circle, he's like, come on, pals. And he's G'ing everyone back up, kind of thing. Yeah.
It's like he's playing pub football and it still matters. It's great, and it just shows you. I don't want to make this a slating for Ayeti and stuff, but there's such a stark contrast between those two footballers. And part of it is, you know, their makeup in terms of their athleticism.
Physicality.
Yeah, and, you know, but Kyogo, he's so sharp. And I think he inspires his teammates, I really do.
Aye.
I think they see the work rate he puts in and they think, geez, we'll need to, you know, do a bit of that. And he's so infectious. And I hope, you know, this is him back, you know, for an extended run in the team.
Yeah.
Not sure what's going to happen international-wise. There's a bit of confusion where the paper said that Japan hadn't called him up. Ange and his presser mentioned that he thought he had. So
no,
I'd far rather he
yeah.
didn't go travelling halfway around the world again and that he can continue to recover. But main thing is that he seems to be okay for Sunday. Another guy I'd like to mention here, and he'll feel very hard done by to be on the wrong end of a 4-0 defeat, is Joe Hart.
Aye.
He's
made some great saves tonight.
I would think about five or six really decent
Waldies,
saves.
Aye.
Yeah. What do you think about him and the difference he's made to the team?
Oh, could you imagine that game tonight with Barkas and goals?
9-0. That's how I can imagine it.
You know, I don't think you're terribly wrong there, because there were some phenomenal saves for Hart that Barkas just wouldn't be getting.
Mm-hmm.
So unless it was going to be Leverkusen stopping it for, it could have been whatever they wanted with Barkas and goals.
He's made one of those saves towards the end. It was akin to the, you know, the famous Gordon Banks save where it's bounced into Tuff and he's managed to get across to it. He's just shown really good hands. I don't think he can do anything with any of the goals.
Not at all.
And I just think he's just a very good pair of hands. They actually had a shot, I never mentioned it, they had a shot in the very first minute. They broke quickly and they've fired it right down his throat. It's one of those ones where when it is Barkas, you're going,
this squirm me.
This could go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just had real solid hands behind him and he just
scooped body
it
behind
up.
It as well.
And
yeah, yeah.
The moment he gets it, he's looking to set Celtic yeah. off in the attack. So I'm really, really delighted with Joe Hart, and
yeah,
also the fact that he's taken the club on board and the fact that he can step into the captaincy when McGregor's missing. So absolute credit to him. One other wee thing, just tactically, Jota and Abada have switched wings again, and he's done that the last couple of games. What do you think on that? You know, we've not had much change out of it. Is it just to try and freshen it up?
It wasn't in-game. You know, on Sunday there it was in-game. This was more tactical, where we were going 4-4-2. I don't know if Ange had maybe spotted something that Jota could get their left-back, but we know Frimpong's not a great right-back, so that's where I'd have wanted to keep him, and he had him most of the game. So that kind of thing gets plaudits when it does something that you weren't expecting, and it didn't, so just give it nothing.
Yeah, maybe on another day it does. I think Abada as well, Jota's kind of overshadowed him to an extent.
Aye, and I think Abada's a talent.
Yeah, and I hope that Abada can rise to that. You can see, you know, they're both young men, and I hope that they can bounce off each other in training,
yeah,
and kind of work together
be.
Because they're serious talents, but Jota's been a breath of fresh air since he came in as well.
Jota's stronger.
He is strong, yeah, very much so. Not too much to report beyond that. Beaton's had a very poor attempt over the bar. As I mentioned, Giacomakis, the more important thing is just getting minutes in the legs there and you know, welcoming him to Celtic.
He'll bring something to the game.
I think so.
Definitely.
You know, he wasn't quite at himself and he didn't look sharp, nor would you expect him. I think it's his first action since May time. He never played any pre-season for his previous club, so that's what you get.
He's bigger than I thought he'd be in terms of, you know, muscular kind of thing. He's got a bit of cargo as well, but
he's carrying.
That'll go. but I thought when I'd been watching these kind of clips, he was quite slight. He's actually quite broad-shouldered and stuff like that. So I think that's something that we've lacked, that kind of back-to-goal kind of guy.
I think he's the chunkiest number seven we've had in a while, so let's see how he does in the weeks ahead. Yeah, and as I said, mentioned briefly, Ayeti, it's just not happening for him just now, and I'm not going to dwell on it. He just came on and just huffed and puffed, so we'll skip that. Obviously, the scoreline played out at 4-0, so it's come at the death, probably around about the 92nd minute. We've looked very leggy. I think what happened was Beaton, I'd mentioned to you, Beaton kept giving the ball to an absolutely gubbed Tony Ralston.
I think Ralston thought he was Beaton.
I don't know what was going on, but Ralston, he took a few bangs, the one in the head I mentioned, a few heavy challenges.
He caught another one in the head after that, in the jaw.
He was absolutely spent, but Beaton kept giving it to him, which I thought was disappointing.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I say, it's broken down the midfield. They've broken with pace. You know, as I say, they've brought on Schick, you know, amongst other guys, and they've got some very decent players. And Hart had actually made a very good save just before it to keep the scoreline respectable, but they've broken and they've lashed one into, you know, high into the net for 4-0. And as we've mentioned, it doesn't feel like a 4-0 game, but it doesn't matter if it feels like it, looks like it, tastes like it. It is a 4-0 game, and that's how it's finished.
Aye, Leverkusen showed their talent with that finish in the fourth goal. I mean, it was just absolute class. You need to be honest with that. You would expect them to kind of put it across goal, or just went, nah, I'll just lash this in the back of the net.
Yeah, so that'll be that for tonight. So we'll put that one to bed, and as mentioned, the main thing was to get through this without any great injuries, and it looks like, you know, touch wood, we've managed to do so, and very importantly, in terms of McGregor and Kyogo. So what about Sunday? James, we've obviously talked about how important it is in terms of league stuff, and for me, this is the be-all and end-all, but you really need to be getting up and taking 3 points there, don't you?
One of my favourite games in the calendar away in Petardry. You know, it's just something I've always enjoyed. They're in bad form. If we play like we did in the good bits tonight and not in the bad bits like we did on Sunday against the United, then we should be winning that game comfortably. So yeah, I'm excited for that. It's, you know, great the games are coming around so fast. It's just there's so much intrigue at Celtic just now because it's a changing squad, you know, every single week. Let's be honest, the results have to start coming. I don't mean tonight, but in the league, and I think they'll be starting with that on Sunday. So a good strong win there will set us up for a strong October.
Yeah, it certainly will. And this is where Ange, you know, earns his pennies, because I hope the players are being fairly bigger picture when they reflect on things tonight. You know, I'm sure they'll have team meetings in the days ahead before Petardry, and I hope Ange, you know, gets them focused and motivated that tonight isn't the test, Sunday's the test, and, you know, ensuring progress in a domestic front to make sure that we're, you know, doing the right things there. Europe will come, you know, I think this team will grow, and hopefully Ange is the man to steer us forward in the years ahead, but Europe isn't the focus just now. Sunday at Petardry is, and hopefully Ange's got them in the right frame of mind for that.
Yeah.
So on game two in the Europa League, Celtic fall short against a very decent Bayer Leverkusen side. Next up, and more importantly than tonight, is a trip to Petardry on Sunday, where we'll be chasing 3 points ahead of the international break. We'll be back with you for that one, but in the meantime, thanks to James for joining me tonight, and as always, thanks to you for listening.
Sponsored by 1010 Podcasts.